Different people, one body, for the purpose that through his Spirit, the presence of God can dwell within us. But I question, what would Jesus find if he came right now, not to this church, but to the planet, in personal form? If he came and said, let me just see if what I left is still here, the way I left it and with the power I left it. And if he investigated, what would he find? Would he find what he left? Would he find a morphism of what he left, but no longer it is what he left it to be? Would he find a church that called itself a church, but lacked the power and the practice of churchism? You know, familyism, you know, families, you have 50 families maybe represented here. Each of you do family differently. The Smiths don't do it like the Johnsons, and the Whosima Whatsits don't do it like the Whosima Whosits, and all these kind of things. But the church should be the church. Our churchism should be roughly the same across cultural borders, across racial borders, across age gaps. And the reason is because it has nothing to do with age, race, or culture. What Jesus left us superseded all of what separates us today. Age, culture, race, skin color, idealism, politics, Trump, Hillary, all of that stuff that separates us today. That's not what brought the church together then. What brought the church together then was Jesus and Jesus alone. And when they met together with him, it was a celebration of who Jesus was and who he changed us to be, and how can we celebrate that together. So what I want to talk about today, in line with the vision that Pastor Kevin met with me and talked to me about, and what I talked with the leaders about, was different people, one body, Ephesians 2:22, that through the Spirit of God, through the Holy Spirit, God can dwell within us. God can be with us. And it has to do with finding the church Jesus left. The first place I want to go is, there's what characterizes the body of Christ. Would you know it when you saw it? Would you know it when you felt it? If you saw the church, how would you identify it? If you felt the church, how would you know that you were in the true church that God left? And you should see some questions up there. I don't have the clicker, I'm sorry. I forgot your name, I'm so sorry. Sheila, thank you. You should see questions up there. And these are questions I want you to ask yourself. If you saw the church, you're in this church right now, and just through these processes of questions, ask yourself, is my portion in this church helping the church get to what Jesus left? Because if it's true what Pastor Kevin said, that we're all different parts of the same one body, and together we make the whole church, this isn't a question that you should ask, is our church this? You should ask, am I this? You shouldn't say, my church doesn't worship right. Well, do you worship right? You shouldn't say, oh, my church doesn't love right. You should say, do I love right? Because a church is no greater than the sum of its total parts. And that's the strength that brings a church together. And how do you know when you see it and feel it and touch it and taste it? How will a stranger or a visitor know that they've encountered the living embodiment of the presence of God through the togetherness of his people when they walked in? And that's what I want to investigate today. That's the things I want to look at today and just get ourselves to ask, are we the true church that Jesus left? Not in belief, because we agree that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who died for the sins of the ungodly, among whom I am chief. We believe that. So I'm not saying the true church in belief. I'm saying in practice, in churchism. Are we what he left? So there's an acronym. And I made this acronym because I was just, Lord, I need something clever. I need something to put together. And a lot of us pastors just kind of make stuff and say, I'll make it work. And so, you know, you've seen this, the movie with the Snow Princess, and I used to know all that stuff. I don't remember anymore, but the snowman was Olaf. Remember him? What was the name of that movie? Frozen. And so I made up an acronym here, and it's called Koloff, right there. Koloff, amen. The Holy Spirit gave that to me. Can I blame that on him? Yeah, the Holy Spirit gave that to me. This is just one of the ways that we can identify. It's not the way, but in looking at Scripture, when you look at Koloff, and Koloff is an acronym for something, it means community, love, family, and fruits of the Spirit. Community, love, family, and fruits of the Spirit. When you look at the church Jesus left, the ism of the church, the practice of the church, you see these things in living color, and you see these things being practiced with intentionality. These things did not happen by accident. Love did not happen by accident. Community was not by accident. Family was not by accident. Fruit of the Spirit was not by accident. When you see the church Jesus left, these things were practiced on purpose with an intention to, let's do what he said. Let's practice what he told us to. You know, I don't know how you guys grew up, but I knew when I grew up, my mother and father, they worked. We had a two-income home, and like most families today. Well, when my father and mother said, I want these things done when I get home, they didn't mean start doing it when you hear my car pull up. That's not what they meant. They meant when they got home, it should already be done. And so we had to go through the process of learning when he leaves, we have to make sure that we arrange our lives to do what he said. Because when he shows up or when my mother shows up and it's not done, we're in trouble. Could you imagine if Jesus said, all right, church inspection, you don't have time to clean. You don't have time to say, oh, well, let me go fix my fight I've been having with sister so-and-so, and let me go apologize to brother so-and-so. I've been spreading rumors about him. That, you don't have time for that, because church inspection time right now. I think that when we start getting things like this right and asking ourselves questions like this, we can be ready in the twinkling of an eye. We can be prepared for the appearing of Christ whenever he may come. There's a couple of stories I want to look at in talking about Koloff, in talking about community, love, family, and fruit of the Spirit. And I want to combine community and family together. And there's a couple of verses. I know you can't see them. They're pretty small up there. But the first story I want to look at, and if you have a Bible, you can turn there with me. I'll read them to you. The first one I want to talk about is family. And that's in Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. And this is all about intentionality. What I want to get you to see is this is not by accident what they did. It wasn't because they liked each other what they did. It wasn't because she was so cute and he was so handsome and I just love your company. It was because they decided we have to do this. When you read it, I'll read it to you. It's just a few verses long. It says, Then they gladly received the word and were baptized, and the same day were added to them about 300 souls. And then they, the 300 souls plus the ones already in addition, that's a lot of people. But look at what they did with intention. Then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. How do you break bread and pray with 3,000 plus people daily? Daily. Raise your hand if you're going through something. Nobody. God's moving. Okay, some people. All right, we got some hands. Thank you for your honesty. Now, raise your hand if someone else in the church besides who you're comfortable with is praying and asking you, are you okay over what you just raised your hand about? Intentionality. There's no reason for a child of God to go through something alone if you belong to the church Jesus left. The church Jesus left, there was no dead body left behind. There was no soldier unforgotten. There was no such thing as that suicidal mind that says, if I killed myself, no one would notice me. And right now we have churches that people sit in that pew and they say, I bet if I was absent Sunday, they wouldn't even call. Is that the church Jesus left? Look, it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done by the apostles, and they believed together and had all things in common. Somebody say all things. Now, I believe the Bible, and I'm a King James guy. I believe that the Holy Spirit was so purposeful in what he wrote that when he said all things, he didn't mean, yeah, but not your problems. He didn't mean all things except your issues with drugs or pornography or except your infidelities. He meant they shared everything. Men met with men and said, hey, brother, I need some prayer. I'm having some issues in my life. I need you guys to pray for me. I need some help with this. The Bible says Satan is roaming the earth like a lion. The Bible never calls him a lion. He is like a lion seeking whom he may devour. And when you look at how lions act, lions will always go after the solitary one, the weak one. They'll never attack or go after the one who's in the group, who has the group mindset. Because in the group mindset, the group says, if you attack her, you got to attack all of us. If you attack him, you got to go through all of us to get to him. And Satan's a little bit afraid of that, just like a lion would be. But the minute that you have that bout of depression and you sink inside yourself, the minute you go through a problem and you're too ashamed to share it with the cohort, he got you because you're separate. And the church that that Jesus left won't allow it. Not because they want to butt into your business, but because you're too important to be left by yourself. You're too needed. I need you too much for me to let you sulk and sour alone. I'm coming to your house. Don't come, Pastor. No, I'm coming, and I'm bringing some deacons with me. No, don't come. We already in the driveway. Open the door. Because the church that Jesus left, there was no such thing as, you know what, she doesn't want her in her business, let's just leave her alone. No, you are far too important and too precious to the cohort, to the body, to the community, to us, for you to be left alone. They had all things in common. When you cried, I cried. When you were happy, I was happy for you. When you did better than me, I praised God because you did better than me. I wasn't jealous. When you got the promotion and I didn't, I praised God that at least one of us got it. And praise God that my sister or brother in Christ received it. Everything was in common. And they continued daily with one another in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Look around the room. Whose houses haven't you been at? Oh, I can see a little baby girl pointing. Okay, that's fine. But look around. I didn't ask you to point. You can point if you want to, but that's all right. Whose houses haven't you been at? And then why? Maybe it's because they don't know that the invitation's open. Maybe it's because they're ashamed of the empty pantry. But little do they know that the previous verse, the reason why I skipped it is because I wanted to say this, there's no such thing as an empty pantry in the church that Christ left. Because the previous verse says there was no such thing as an unmet need in the church Christ left. I'll do what I have to do to make sure you have food. I'll do what I have to do to make sure you have clothes, even selling what I have to make sure you have something. And if we're many parts of one body, what do I have to do to get invited into your life? Because you're surely invited to mine. If we're many parts of one body for the sake and for the goal of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit dwelling within our church, what do we have to do to make it happen to where we can have this thing work to, or we can go from house to house, fellowshipping with another, including each other in each other's life? Being able to say, look, we have the same daddy, but different fathers. We all have the same daddy. You know, I'm the handsome one. You're the smart one. You're the whatever. But our fathers are all the same. We're family. And a lot of what I think needs to be done is to do away with identity outside of the body of Christ. We are connected to the cohort of God. We are connected to the body of Christ, and you are my family, and I am yours. And you may not know how we do our culture, but come and learn. And I may not know how you do your culture, but please teach me how you do your culture, because at the end of the day, we are brothers and sisters in God. And that's only done with intention. Challenge. Find someone who you haven't invited in your house and invite them within 30 days. Can that happen? Pastor, can I challenge them? I challenge you. I challenge you. Find someone in the congregation that you've not invited into your home. And within 30 days, invite them to your home. And then have that person invite you to theirs. With the strict purpose of, let's get to know each other. We come to the same church. There's no reason why we can't do intentionally what Jesus left for us to do. They praised God together, having favor with all people. Here's where it gets down to the presence of God. They had favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that would be saved. You see God's response to that? God's response is, when you do church the way I left it, I will add to the church daily those who need to be saved. Why? Because when they come into that door, they don't see a church. They see Christ and his body. They see a family who loves each other, and they say to themselves, I want to be part of that. They don't sense, oh, I like the way he preaches. I like the way they sing. They sense the presence of God, and they may like the way he preaches, or the way he sings, or the way she plays, or the way he plays. But all of that is secondary to the cohort. All of that is secondary to the presence of God dwelling in a place where people are doing church the way he left it. That's community. That's family. But watch community. There's another passage there. I you probably can't see it, but it's in Mark chapter 2, 1 through 5, and I'll read it for you. And I want to just show you the intentionality of community. The first part was building a family. How do I build a family with my brothers and sisters in Christ? Well, you all belong to the same church. There's no reason why you can't be family. But then what about community? And this story is a chief example because it shows us what can happen in the power of a community who cares for one another with intentionality. And the story says this, and he came to Capernaum after some days, and I'm reading from King James, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, not even at the door. and he preached the word unto them. And they came to him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come near to him because of the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick was of the palsy was. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto them of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. This man got healed. Watch this. Here's a guy, sick of the palsy from the age of four. There's many of you right now that belong to this church or come to this church and are dealing with problems right now. Have issues right now. Have situations right now. And could it be that if you don't have the faith for Christ to come up and heal you, you need someone in your family to bring you to Christ, to make a hole in the roof and bring you to him? So that Christ doesn't see your faith for your healing, he sees the faith of the person who took off work. I'm going to take off my work today. I'm going to pray with you all day. You see, that's the hole in the roof. I was supposed to go to my son's game today, but you know what? I'm going to pray for you today. My son will understand. That's the hole in the roof. So that together we can get your resolution. Together we can bring the healing so that Jesus Christ may not see your faith, but he'll see mine because I believe that Christ can heal you. And I want to help you meet him. Jesus saw the faith of the group. He saw the faith of the men who made the hole in the roof because they knew if we can just get him to Christ. The Bible wants you to know this man was on his bed from the age of four. Imagine being of the palsy from the age of 4 years old. All hope of healing is gone, especially when you're a man now. But someone looked at him and said, no, I don't care how long you've been sick. I don't care how long you've been depressed. I don't care how long you've been dealing with this issue. I don't care how long you've been bogged down with this chain of sin. I know that if I can bring you to Jesus, the chain will be broken, the healing will come, the provision will make itself known, and to make that happen, I'm going to get you to Christ. I'm going to call my husband or call my wife and let them know I may be late for dinner. I'm going to take off work on my PTO, and I'm going to be with you during this season, and we're going to come to Christ together. It's intentional. They didn't dig a hole in their house. They messed up some other person's house. I'm not telling you to mess up someone's house, but I am saying be intentional with community. Everyone in here is dealing with something. I'm convinced of that. I don't believe that anyone here is just saying, there's nothing in my life to which I don't have to pray about. And if that's true, please give me what you're taking. But if it is true that we're all dealing with something, we're all dealing with an inner chain, we're all dealing with an inner situation, we're all dealing with something that just puts us to our knees to pray, then that means that the opportunity is always there to present itself to take someone by the hand and say, come on, let's pray. I will fast with you 3 days. Let's do this. Let's fast. Can you agree with me? Let's fast 3 days together. I'll do it with you. But that means there has to be not only intentionality on that side, but there has to be vulnerability on the one who says, I just don't believe God can do it. I don't believe God can heal me. You have to be able to be vulnerable with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and we have to look at you and say, I believe God for you. When did judgment enter into the body? It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing to belong to a body. Not this one, but it's a sad thing to belong to a body, and I don't feel comfortable expressing what's hurting me. I don't feel comfortable expressing my sin to my brother who can hold me accountable because he may judge me. When the church Christ left, said we had all things in common. The church that Christ left, I'm not going to let you go through your chain alone. I'm going to go through it with you, and together we'll break it. And if together we're multiple parts of the one body, where do you lie in that story? Are you the man of the palsy on the bed? Or are you in the season of your life right now where you need to find this man in your community? You need to find this person who's been praying and hasn't had a deliverance and is about to give up. And you need to be the one to make a hole in the roof and bring him to Christ. Where are you in that? Did you know pew sitting is not a gift of the Holy Spirit? It's not. It does not say love, joy, peace, and warm in the seat. Comfortable in the wintertime. I love sitting in the spot where someone just got up. It's cool. It's warm. But it's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. It is not. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant to benefit one another, which is the second part of Koloff. The second part of Koloff was fruits of the Spirit. And out of these fruits of the Spirit, you know, the passage in Galatians there, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against which there is no law. Why? Why is there no law against these things? Because these things only want to do you good. Why prohibit the long-suffering when Christ is the epitome of long-suffering? There's no need to have a law against it. There's no need to have a law against faith or a law against gentleness, because when you do it as Christ left it, all it will do will increase your life and the life of those who you practice it toward. What happened to the church where anyone's welcome? What happened to the church where someone can walk in and they may not be saved, they may not know church, they may come into church and answer their phone, they may come into church and they may smell of smoke or cigarette, and they may come into church and they just obviously have never been in a church building before because of how they act or look. But what happened to the place when they were welcome to come? Even in Jesus' day, he got comments. Man, if he knew who was touching his feet, he would never, if he knew who was drawing his water, he would have never allowed it. And Jesus Christ was quick to respond and said, no, that's not what I'm building. What I'm building is a place where she's welcome to pour my water, and she's welcome to wash my feet because her heart is right, and they need me. And the church Jesus left, the fruits of the Spirit were high. And all of us have different propensities. Some of us have the gift of faith. Some of us can believe God for other things that other people will look and say, I'm not with you. I'll follow you. I can't lead that endeavor. I got to have the money first. I have to have the vision first. I just can't walk without seeing it. Okay, fine. But what else could there be where you're strong in, where you could lead the charge? You may not have the gift of overabounding faith and to see something that hasn't happened yet, but you may have just a joyful spirit. You ever see these people that just anything go wrong and they're just happy? Just happy go, like, you just want to throw something at them. Shut up. Be sad one day. Be mad one day. Just, can I see you just be mad one day? I'll be happy. I'll know you're human. Those people, that's a gift. You're the joy of the church. Spread it. There's other people like you. They're just afraid to come out. Long-suffering and peace and joy. Where are you? Stop hiding what the Holy Spirit and God put in you. Don't leave right after service. When he says amen and service is over, don't leave right away. Stick around. If that's you, I don't know what goes on after church. He's not told me anything. I'm just making a comment. Having been in multiple churches in my city, I know the trend. I know what happened. Stay and just see what the Lord may have imparted in you from another member of your family, or what he may want you to say to someone. Out of all these fruits of the Spirit, I like the one love. Of course, that was one of the words there in Koloff, was the word love, because love is also intentional. Did you know that the Bible says that we are to endeavor hard to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace? That means you've got to be intentional to love people who sometimes get on your nerves. Amen. Don't be ashamed to say that. Amen. Hey, thank you, baby. Thank you. You've got to be intentional. You've got to be above offense. I will not be easily offended by the things that Satan put in place to divide us. Because if Satan can cause division, he has a way in. And so therefore, I will choose to show love. I will choose to show peace. I will choose to show long-suffering. And I choose to remain one body. And it's very intentional. There's a list of verses up here, and I put a star by some of them because I want you to get these in your heart right away. I want you to read these right away. Mark them in your Bible. The first two there are John 13, 34 and 35. And they say this: a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. And by this, all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one another. How hard is that? Sometimes I fight with myself. I know I'm gonna fight with you one day. Sometimes I stand in the mirror. You so stupid. Why'd you make that? Why did you say that? You ever said something and then you get home and you're like, why in the world did I say that? Just fight with yourself. So you already know someone else is gonna say something or do something or say or have a certain attitude, and you'll get offended. And yet the commandment Jesus left us was so that they will know that you are mine. Choose to love one another. Choose to be one. Choose to be the church I left you and say, I will endeavor hard to keep our unity in the bond of peace. That's in Ephesians for those of you that want to go read that. I will choose that. It's not easy, but it gets easier to say, you are my brother in Christ and you are my sister. And I will not allow the pet peeves that I have in my life to separate us, because I know that's the enemy. I know that's not you. That's the enemy trying to cause diversion and division. And to be what Christ called us to be, I will choose to be one. Because I know statistics. I know statistics. I know numbers. Squash what you have against someone else in this church. Kill it. I know it's here. It's in every church. It's in mine. It's in yours. It's in your house. Kill it. Squash it. Decide no more. Decide it. Why? Because they need to know that you are his. Outside. Out there. They need to know. When they visit, they need to feel it. When they visit, they need to see it. When they hear about you, that needs to be part of the story, the love that they have towards one another that Jesus Christ left them. Look at John 15, 12, verse 12. It says, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And when you think about that, Jesus loved Judas. He lost him. He loved him. And you mad at the person who passed by you and didn't talk to you? Doesn't make sense to me. Jesus loves Peter, who denied him and cussed out a little girl, like this precious little baby right here. Cussed the little girl out. Caught eyes with Peter. Because the Bible says when that cock crowed, Jesus looked up and Peter looked up and they caught eyes. And yet Jesus, at his resurrection, said, go get my disciples and go get Peter too. Tell him to come. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, yes, you know I love you. And we're mad at people in the same body for little small, relatively speaking, small issues. In the church that Jesus left, squash it. For the sake of the presence of God. That's the bigger issue. For his presence, for the sake of what he left us. 1 John 4:11-12, I'll read these and close. It says, beloved, God, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us and his love is perfected. That's the goal. Ephesians 2:22 is the goal. The verse that he read. We are a body of many parts fitly joined together that the presence of God by his spirit can dwell. And Jesus said, if maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if you do, the very presence of God is dwelling in this room right now. Do you know the benefits of the presence of God? Where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is fullness of joy. There is happiness evermore. There's pleasures at my right hand. The very thing that's missing out of your life could be found if you would just love. Show love. Accept love. Sometimes that's hard for us to do too. And the whole goal is, where is my responsibility in the multi-part one body? Many people, one body. Where's my part of that? Do you know if you have a 5,000 piece puzzle and put it together and it's missing one piece, that puzzle's never complete. It's never done. It doesn't matter if 500 of you guys are loving, if the 501st person's not experiencing it or not doing it, there's something incomplete still. So it takes all of us together to realize, I want the presence of God. You want the presence of God. Let's figure this thing out. And love. And let's community together. And let's family together. And let's make your kids my kids. And let's make my kids your kids. And let's make my auntie your auntie. And your mom my mom. And let's join together as a family that Christ left. I would like to think if Jesus Christ came right now and started inspecting and started looking at churches and started saying, what are they doing now that I left? I would like to think he would find more churches practicing it than he would find not. But I'm afraid the opposite is true. I know your pastor's heart. I've had lunch with him. Like he said, we've been friends for over a year and we eat together probably once every 2 or 3 months. We eat together, same restaurant. We meet there. I know the man's heart and I know what he's trying to accomplish here. And I know that he wants to get accomplished this vision of Ephesians 2:22. Not because he doesn't see it, but because he wants it more emboldened, more brighter, more louder. And I believe once it starts to get infectious, you'll take a day off work to pray for her. Or you'll take a day off work and you'll fast 3 days with her. You'll fast 3 days with him to get the presence of God to show up in your life. Yeah, I'll tell my wife, babe, don't cook the food I like now for the next 3 days. I want to go fast with my brother over here to get God's presence in his life. You'll sacrifice for the sake of the one. As you reflect on your part and as you reflect on where you are in that part, there may be things you need to repent. Repentance is healing. For your soul. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, turn from their ways and seek my face, I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Repentance is healthy for you. If you need to repent, if you've held that unlovingness in your heart for any length of time, repent of it. And say, Lord, today's the day I choose to love her or him. I choose to invite them to my house. And I just want to ask you, for the course of this song, ask yourself, where am I and how can I do this better?